Dude, what the fuck, man? Got running across the street after the light had changed. I'm going to need to stop gas. Stop gas. No more gas. I will need to stop for gas on the way home. How about that? Maybe I'll get a drink to drink. Maybe I'll get a bottle of water. That sounds nice. Thank you. Oh, what are you doing? Why are you stopping in this turn lane? Oh, picking up these people. This is an Uber or Lyft. Unmarked, though. No sticker up in the back, anyway. No clear indication. This is just a rogue ride-sharing service. I've taken to draping my arm, my right arm, onto the back of the passenger seat in this car as I drive. You know, the kind of just like arms spread out, kind of across, like you're putting your arm around someone who isn't there almost, just kind of hanging. And I don't really have a problem with it. It's like, it's comfortable. I like doing it. But I feel like the only people who do that are like, real like, unless you're backing up. Maybe, you know, if you're in reverse or something, there's a reason to spread your arm out, turn around. I feel like some filthy, like, dude driving a muscle car, like I'm some dude driving a Dodge. I got a real shitty mullet. And I'm cruising. Checking the scene. That's the vibe I get from that arm spread out onto the passenger side. You know, usually like a bench seat sort of thing. So I feel like a real filthy dude doing this. But, you know, hey, maybe I'm just a dirtbag. I appreciate that car alarms of that variety are still in service. I don't know if you could hear that. A lot of fucking shit. This minivan backing up, some kind of scooter trying to get into a parking spot. Like, it's all fucked up through here. That guy just, like, totally ran that red light. Has not even given anything close to a fuck about that shit. USA, the weirdest soda you've ever had, huh? It just seems like it would just taste like vague sweetness and like overly sweet fucking garbage. I'm sure I'll try one at some point because I like to know these things firsthand, but it doesn't sound like it would be a discernible flavor, just like a vague fucking fruit citrus mess. Noisy streets tonight. It's restless out here. This woman slowly walking this dog through this intersection. That dog, reluctant. guy riding a bike wrong way up a one-way street. And he had one of those drink holders like you get at a fast food place, you know, that holds four drinks, the little cardboard thing. But he just had one drink in it, and it looked to be an orange juice. And there were no other drinks in it. And he was just like palming it, holding it from the bottom, you know, holding the carrier, the little... holding the drink holder. But he just had one drink in it. Like, just hold the drink. Why do you have the drink holder? Maybe he was on his way to pick up more drinks. That's the only explanation I can come up with, is that that guy was on his way to buy three more drinks and knew he was going to need a way to get them back. Got this orange juice, but man, I need like a diet soda. Chocolate milk. Like a matcha tea. Maybe he was delivering food for a nearby restaurant to someone. He had a backpack on. Maybe, like, the food order is in the backpack, and then, you know, they bring the drink. Like, he just had to hold the drink because he can't really put an orange juice in a backpack. You know, it was like a plastic cup with a lid, you know, like a fast food type lid on it. No straw in it, so it wasn't like he wasn't, like, drinking it himself. He was bringing it somewhere. And maybe just by default, they just, you know, always bring the drinks in some kind of drink holder. So it's not like, hey, this dude's hand has been on your drink the whole time, warming it up. Gotta get you this cold orange juice. I would think you would put a basket on the bike so that you can just kind of get that in there. Thank you. 22 miles of gas left. I'm gonna pass this gas station here. It sucks. Let's see. Hey Siri, how far is it to the Chick-fil-A?
Okay, one option is Chick-fil-A on Roland Way in Navarro. Does that one sound good?
Says that's 15. No, stop.
Sorry, Jeff. We don't seem to be navigating anywhere. If you'd like directions, just say, get directions to wherever.
Shut the fuck up. It's 15 miles to that next gas station, so I got 22 miles in the tank. It's probably not worth it to push it. Even though I fucking hate this gas station. Oh, this gas station. I got down to 2 miles remaining in this car before, and I was in the middle of I-5, in the middle of driving, in the middle of nowhere, so it could have gone very, very bad, but coasted into that gas station with 2 miles left in the tank. And you want to think, like, oh, when it says 2 miles, it really means 20. You know, like, they put in some buffer, but I don't know that they do. Maybe they do. I ain't tested it. All right, I'm going to get gas. Alright, $51 later, here we are. also, I saw one in there and decided to take the plunge and buy one of these fucking Mountain Dews. For America. What is it? It's code red, whiteout, and voltage mixed together. That doesn't sound... I mean, it just looks blue. It doesn't look red or white to me. I don't know. It's... into the fast lane because that's the appropriate lane to enjoy a drink such as this. Here we go. It smells like flavored Mountain Dew. That generic kind of smell that they all sort of seem to have. Tastes like nothing. Like sweet, sickly sweet, vaguely fruitish, but not really, just kind of vaguely citrusy, overly sweet junk. So yeah, it's America. This is their statement on the state of things, I guess. I don't know. An utter lack of substance is what I'm getting out of this drink. Thank you. USA is a Russian plot to destroy America's youth with diabetes before they can fucking grow up to fight the red threat. Mix okay with vodka, though.
Team Ricky Fowler with that dramatic playoff win over Sergio and Kevin Kisner in 2015.
Yeah.
Ray McDowell, have the vodka here.
We'll golf wrap up.
A weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/news. You will love...
Because with blueberries, you're never done. Because even after three...
I like my women like I like my shoes. No strings attached. I like my whipping like I like my mustard. Spicy and yellow without my wiener. I like my women like I like my elevator going down. With the weight limit...
This is great stuff. This is great stuff. This is great stuff.
I like my women like I like my Walmart. Open 24 hours, a little dirty.
Beatboxing after the his fucking inside. Joke. That's perfect. That's perfect.
I like my women. You guys yell out something. Let's just roll with it. I like my women like I like my chocolate.
Is that my wife with a deep voice? See the voice changer back there? We're not good.
Fuck. They can't all be great comedians like this guy.
Nothing in life prepares you to be married. You just kind of have to learn as you go. Thankfully, I have avoided the big mistakes and hopefully have learned from the smaller ones. Like, I remember back when we first got married and my wife would say to me, we need to talk. I make the mistake of talking. And every time I talk, I get my butt in more and more trouble. Now I...
Canadian Club, leave your house and try not to fight. You won't get 50 feet. Hey! Better put my garbage cans down, you and your fancy truck. The last thought I've had every time I've passed out on Rye.
I don't think I'm going to drink the rest of this drink. I think I might throw most of this away. This is... I don't need this in my life.
I came out of a Rye buzz in Vancouver. You kind of snap out of a Rye buzz. So you're on the Rye, too. People don't like to say anything else, but I snapped out of it in Vancouver. I was frying bacon on the stove in my boxer shorts at 5 in the morning when I kind of came to. The cops were coming to the door. I couldn't figure out why, right? I'm just frying bacon. Why do I have to talk to the cops again? I looked on the kitchen table and I saw a Canadian Club bottle empty. And I remember thinking, you did this, didn't you? Still couldn't figure out why. Just frying bacon in my boxers. Why? Why do I have to talk to the cops? When I looked around the whole kitchen and I saw the kitchen table and there was a woman and two kids sitting there and it dawned on me. I don't have a family.
Through this curtain of tears, like, I can't go on strike.
And my wife and JD went there.
I know, like, that's a big deal to, like, be, like, the director did you solid and threw you in for a real quick moment, but that's a waste of a fucking day, honestly. Unless you're a real actor. You know, that
well, what else is he gonna do?
I don't know.
Look for some more shit this evening?
Right. Yeah, it's true. What would his day be? What did he miss out on?
Now he can go to another bar.
It was an awesome day.
Donkeys are coming!
But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the dryer won't.
What are you? See,
at this before.
Big 10 p.m. Eastern.
OSI stands for
OSI. Tired of spending time looking for your valuable misplaced items? Stop searching and start finding with Tile, the convenient, tiny Bluetooth tracker that helps you locate your lost items in seconds. Attach Tile to your keys, wallet, bike, or even your car, and you'll be joining the world's most powerful lost and found community. If you lose something, Tile's community can help you find it. Automatically, the network works together to update you on your lost item's latest location.
What?
Once you're close by, just use the Tile app to make it ring. It's like having your own dedicated search party. Find peace of mind and join the Tile community, where over 2 million things are located every day. Go to jointile.com to get free shipping and save 30% per Tile on a multi-pack. And because Tile makes the perfect gift, for a limited time, get a free gift box with a multi-pack order. Go to jointile.com. That's jointile.com.
Sounds like something that you figured out before the show took shape. And as I'm curious to know.
The way we danced to the beat became a permanent fixture when One in America Bandstand into the twist, followed by The Pony, which is really the biggest dance of all. Everybody does it. And then The Fly. In modern terms, they say it's throw your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care. And The Shake, the Hop-a-Lot. We call them the dancing keyboards to the way we dance to the beat to everybody's music. But at that, it's 50 years. So we thought we'd bring out The Fly, because I believe that The Fly in its purest form back in the 60s was just too suggestive.
Oh, is that right?
But now, everything is suggestive. It's not a big deal.
Now, when you say you changed dance by the way you danced on the beat, how was it done before? How were people dancing before that suddenly the revolution that you were part of?
Everybody swung.
Mm-hmm.
Swung stopped. Just imagine. It's sometimes it's very difficult. People can believe that these words are coming out of my mouth. Because, I mean, one person talking about you did that. Well,
yeah.
The point is that, have you heard of the swing? You've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen little bits of it. You're a dancer.
Sure.
But nobody swung anymore. Everybody did this thing where I'm looking at her, mm-hmm. and she's looking at me, and we're doing the boogie. That's what we brought to the dance floor. It's been here 24/7 since that very moment.
So it's an improvisational style. It's feeling things rather than following dance steps.
Doing your own thing.
Yeah.
That's what we brought. Because before we came along, Ron, it wasn't here.
Yeah. It wasn't happening at all.
It wasn't here.
So when you started doing it, I guess this was a South Philadelphia thing. The kids were dancing. Did people look at you and say, no, you're doing it the wrong way? There's steps to follow, there's rules.
It was a seed that was growing in a fertile place that no one paid any attention to.
Hmm.
Hank Ballard wrote The Twist. He couldn't dance, and his band didn't dance, because I'm a big fan of Hank Ballard's.
Yeah.
It was in the early, he was the first X-rated, because he sung songs about sex. They didn't play it on the radio, but all the kids bought the records. And he wrote this song called The Twist. And the kids in the inner city made up a dance to the lyrics of the song that he had written. They were playing on the radio for a little while, The Twist, because it was cleaner than the other things that he wrote. And radio stopped playing The Twist. And there was an opportunity for change. No one was ever going to hear the song again because they didn't play the record. And the dance that the kids made up, no one's ever going to see that, because things were very different in 1959, 1960. So we came along and recorded The Twist. And what we did, we took the beat, instead of going, we did changed everything from R&B to pop. And when we did that, the world changed. We had no idea that in 2 minutes and 42 seconds that the world was going to change that very moment. And it wasn't going to go back the same as it was before.
Chubby Checker's story about how he changed the world of dance, it sounds very well rehearsed.
You know, that's a good thing to do. We can exercise to that. And that industry began. Girls in the cages in nightclubs didn't happen before until this came along, because the girls got in the middle of the floor in the cages and they were doing the dances and the people watched the girls and then they picked up the steps and that's how it started.
So at this point, something was just coming basically from your neighborhood, or do you think kids were dancing like this all over the country and it just kind of bubbled up with you? Or did, do you think this had just a lot to do with the kids that you grew up with?
No, not at all. Well, remember, American Bandstand was right in Philadelphia. It was the mecca of all of rock and roll. When kids came out of school, no one was on the street. They all watched American Bandstand. Yeah. And whatever happened there, it happened all over the world.
Picked up right
away. So we were there. So we did the twist. And then...
the next day, all the kids in the country are practicing the twist.
If you weren't doing it, you weren't there.
Yeah.
In other words, instead of swinging around and dancing, because it took a little, you know, you had to maneuver a little bit to swing, because you had to learn that.
Yeah.
You had to learn to do the twist. You saw it and you did it.
So what was it like to be a kid at that time and then find out here, Bandstand, it's not in New York, it's not in L.A., it's right there, Mark Street in Philadelphia. You were... It must have changed everything for you guys.
They had a little bit of Bandstand and a little bit of Record Hops everywhere in the world. Record Hops were places where kids could go and vent.
Right.
Now they vent in the malls.
Yep.
Back then,
yep, that's where they vent.
Cars, they went to these big hops, and disc jockey like you was there.
There would be, back then, I'm going to say Jerry Blabbitt, Gator with the Heater, Big Boss of the Hot Sauce.
Any, him and... Thousand. It was American. It was Dick Clark in many different phases all over the world. In other words, you could go to, you listen to your radio, listen to a radio station. Hey, going to be a hop at the barn tonight. There's 5,000 kids show up at the barn. Okay, this jockey's playing the records everywhere, like on Bandstand. 5,000 kids come in, Chubby Checker shows up and mimes the record. Any artist of that day comes in and mimes the record. That was the thing. That was really going. That was what was happening back then. And
scheduled to be off the air at this time.
Right. So that's just like an exercise. Like you're just okay.
Most of them try and do is they try and take advantage of people's interest in donating food during the holiday period.
What I suggest, because not everybody has that ability to.
112.
Jockeys Turn Time right here on the Fox News Channel. Meanwhile, there is breaking news tonight. James Comey's departure does not end the controversy at the FBI. The president has to pick a replacement for Comey, who will have...
As I believe the law requires.
That means he's ordering prosecutors to charge crimes with the longest prison time, including low-level drug offenders. The memo also puts mandatory minimum sentences back into effect.
If you are a drug trafficker, we will not look the other way.
Critics say the sentencing guidelines will make overcrowded prisons worse and unfairly target minorities. In a statement, Republican Senator Rand Paul says we should, quote, treat our nation's drug epidemic as a health crisis and less as a lock 'em up and throw away the key problem. Something break. Fox News.
Just hours before the statute of limitations.
Wanna change the world.
Discover and rediscover the music and legacy of the Fab Four.
On the band's one and only official channel.
The Beatles Channel.
Coming to SiriusXM, May 18th.
CNN, the worldwide leader in news. SiriusXM 116. Or stream through the SiriusXM app.
When was the last time you walked out of a mattress store feeling confident about your purchase?
It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast.
I've never purchased a mattress.
It's really hard to say. A lot of the communications have been surrounding this issue about firing Director Comey.
I've gone and looked at mattresses.
We look forward to having you back when this channel
suspect that the next president could be at the helm when Khamenei passes. And the president is charged, according to Article 111 of the Constitution, of supervising the tasks of the Supreme Leader along with two other individuals in absence of the Supreme Leader through the succession process. So it could be very important.
As a day, Marvine, why does it matter?
I'll answer that looking from the bottom up, I suppose, which is that in Iran, which is anachronistic system, people believe that the elections make a difference. I mean, there will be debates about whether people should vote or not. You know, is one candidate that much more different than the other? But in the end, you know, turnout is always fairly high. And in the context of the region, it's extremely high. There's real, genuine national politics. And it's an opportunity for a system like this that's quite hybrid, that's a difficult system. It's an opportunity every 4 years for people to send a message about what kind of future they want. And, you know, very interestingly, again, for the context of the region, the message gets absorbed by the regime and it sets the tone for the next 4 years. So it matters from below as well.
Right. It's very interesting that. So do you think that the religious leadership, the deep state, the Ayatollahs, whatever, that they let this happen? Even want it to happen because it is a pressure valve that lets off pressure.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what the system has been kind of premised on and built around from the beginning, is that this system requires some level of public participation. And the system re-legitimizes itself every 4 years through this participation and through people taking an active interest. So it's absolutely kind of central to how the Islamic Republic operates, is to revitalize itself in the eyes of itself, in the eyes of the people every 4 years.
Trump. In a month or so back on The Apprentice, or what? Is he going to forget he's president?
I don't think he ever learned what it means to be president. So I think that's probably the more important point.
This guy's losing it. What is happening?
And so are we. Like, not to say that we should be overreacting, but like, again, his residency is like a virus that just invades my brain, and I'm like, well, I'm crazy. I'm a crazy person.
Oh, everybody. I mean, literally, Nikki Haley said something the other day that every day you wake up, it's like a nightmare. I'm paraphrasing, but people are like, what are you talking about? Like, it's you, it's me, it's to a lesser extent my wife, because two nights ago she informed me, she's like, yeah, nothing, she had to turn it off to some extent because nothing changes. Mm. So some people are
at these pictures, Trump looked very happy. He had a very big...
What does that mean exactly? What are you doing?
Well, basically, you have a bedside table, and it has a drawer on it, and in the drawer has a mirror. And within that mirror, you put your toothpaste, your toothbrush, and then I have my toilet paper, and I have all of those things with the Purell hand sanitizer. And my deodorant and other stuff right in reaching distance. So you take care of all of that in bed, and they give you the urinal for you to utilize. So it's pretty much self-service.
So of all the things that you have to do in the morning when it comes to like brushing your teeth,
law firm or the law firm where I'm affiliated is involved in this. That's not why I bring it up. It's that the law firm is unbelievably successful and has any number of high profile cases right now in its inventory that are making a lot of news. So here's another one. But I have no interest in it, no financial interest in it. I'm not involved in it. And frankly, all that I know about what I'm about to tell you is drawn from the newspaper.
Okay, qualifications over. What is the story?
Okay, so May 12, 2015. Amtrak train 188 is northbound on the Acela corridor, as we put it. And when you leave the city of Philadelphia, when you are in lower northeast Philadelphia, when you are within 10 minutes of leaving 30th Street Station, which is our big train hub, there is a sharp bend in the track. And it's mandatory that the engineers slow down before they go around that bend. On that particular day, the engineer, whose name is Brandon Bostian, was at the control. And, you know, like, who knew that there's one guy up there who really does control your fate? You know, and maybe you think, geez, Michael, that's a ridiculous statement. Of course, he's driving. Yeah, I don't know. I just, When you got hundreds of people on board a train, there's like one guy up there, and one mistake on his part can cause, well, what transpired in this particular case. He hit the bend at 106 miles an hour, going twice the posted speed limit. There was nothing from a technology standpoint that would have slowed the train automatically. Why? Because they hadn't done the install, and not all the money, I think, had been earmarked. But ironically, if that train had been southbound at exactly the same spot, this could never have happened. So he's going twice the limit at 106 miles an hour. He had no drugs or alcohol in his system. He had not been on his cell phone, as best they've been able to determine. There's no explanation. There's no explanation as to what transpired, but...
Dude fucking spaced out, man. It happened.
A lot of people got hurt. Several people were... Was the number eight? Help me on this.
I feel like eight, because that's in my head, too. So if it's in both of our heads that eight died, it must be... You know what I'm saying? I'll double check.
So the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office has been looking at this case for a while, and the statute of limitations runs today. Today. So the DA's office announced that they were not going to bring charges, that they could not meet the requisite level. Was it eight? Okay, it was eight. Good. That they could not meet the requisite gross negligence type standard for there to be a criminal prosecution in this case. The law firm where I'm associated, where one of the named partners is Tom Klein, is handling, I think, you know, two or three dozen of these cases. So he and another Philadelphia trial lawyer named Robert Mongalusi and a 91-year-old legendary trial attorney still practicing named Richard Sprague, this triumvirate get together, they petition the court using a rarely invoked, you know, arcane element of Pennsylvania law. And they get a judge yesterday to order the DA's office to reverse course and charge the engineer. They essentially swear out a criminal complaint on behalf of a private citizen and then get a judge to bless it, and are now forcing the DA's office to do an about face and bring these charges.
Okay, so I saw the headline, and the first thing I thought was, can you do that? Like, I mean, I thought it was sort of a closed book.
Yeah. No.
Do you think the engineer knew you could do that, or did you think he, like, finally slept well for the first time? And
That's a good point, TC. Yeah, I think he probably thought he would sleep well Friday night, meaning tonight.
Although I don't know how you sleep well if you've killed.
Well, we know what you're saying. Yeah, but listen, there's one other thing about this that I thought Dick Sprague, who is the 91-year-old legendary trial attorney, he's quoted in the paper today. This story is posted at Smirconish.com.
I was about to say that. Yep.
But he's quoted as saying this. He said the decision not to prosecute was a shock. He and Mr. Klein and Mongalusi said that Bostian should be charged with involuntary manslaughter and reckless endangerment. And it's the statute of limitations on reckless endangerment that expires today. And then Dick Sprague said this. He said, can you imagine someone driving down Market Street at 100 miles per hour, hitting people, killing people, and the DA saying, we don't have a basis to charge anyone? And he makes a great point. You know, if there is this inexplicable accident, and I told you when I brought this up earlier in the week that there was a report on the local SEPTA system that apparently was heard by or can be heard by the Amtrak system of projectiles being thrown at the local trains. Okay. So the presumption has been that maybe this guy... something hit the train and it distracted him, and he doesn't slow down, or he accelerates, but it's really unknown. The only thing we know is that it was going twice the rate of speed that it should have been going. No drugs, no alcohol, and no
what
evidence
does he
of
say?
Texting.
No one knows.
He doesn't remember. He doesn't know.
So what will happen now? He'll definitely be charged, and then
you don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a lawyer to have an opinion on this question. If those are the facts, all you know is that he was in charge of the train, and the train was going 106 when it should have been going 50 or 55. Should he be charged? And Dick Sprague's point is, well, if you were driving a car down the street and that's all you knew, yeah, he'd be charged.
Pretty why different thing. Be,
why should, but he didn't have a heart attack. But he didn't have a heart attack. Anyway, that story is posted at Smirconish.com. Really intriguing. And to your last question of, well, will this work? Well, I don't know. I do not know where it will go and whether they'll be successful, but it's a pretty interesting case.
Yeah, it's under reversing course.
All right.
On Smirconish.com.
Yeah, make those headlines a little pithier.
Reversing course. I thought that was genius.
When we come back, TC's favorite part of the week, the social media report, is next.
It's, 11:45, so you're running right back to work on camera. So we'll make sure we, that is Fox News, not business, right? You're going up for news?
I actually have a meeting today, not a
you have a meeting, okay.
But I will, follow me on Twitter and you'll see.
Show me in the building. My mistake there. But I always want to have you on Fox News. What can I say?
Thank you.
All right, Lisa writes, by the way, for FoxNews.com, so I'll at least redeem myself a little bit on this one. The United Nations Agency on this global guidance for the use of laptops and portable devices.
That protect consumers in the banking and other financial areas and create this agency, and their only job is to protect consumers. They are not supposed to worry about, well, if we protect the consumer, is that going to be bad for the bank? If that's going to be bad for the bank, that's tough. The bank should have been better in the first place. So that's why the consumer...
...fied in Congress that there's a investigation, as Lester Holt pointed out. And then he goes...
Laughter. The scripture calls it joy unspeakable, full of glory. Years ago, there was a young man in South Korea that was dying from tuberculosis. One lung had already collapsed. As he lay on his bed at home, waiting to die, he was in so much pain that he started calling out to his different gods one by one. He cried out to this god, please come and help me. No answer. He called out to another god, please, won't you help me? Still not an answer. Again and again and again. Finally, in desperation, he said, if there's any god up there anywhere, I don't ask you to heal me. I just ask you to show me how to die. He was alone, felt forgotten, dropped by a life-threatening illness, no fault of his own. You wouldn't think that God would have anything to do with him. He wasn't a believer. He doesn't come from our same faith. But the scripture says, call on the name of the Lord and he will answer you. It doesn't say call if you come to church. Call if you know the scripture. Call if you live the right kind of life. No, anyone is welcome to call. There's a seat at the king's table waiting for you. A few hours later, a young college student walking through his neighborhood, felt what she described as an inexplainable love drawing her to that house. She went over and knocked on the door. His mother answered. The young lady said, I know this is odd. You don't know me, but is there anything that I can pray with you about? His mother began to weep, told how her son was on his deathbed in the back bedroom. The young lady went back and prayed for her son. That day, he gave his life to Christ. Long story short, God healed him. He went on to become Dr. David Yonggi Cho, the pastor of the largest church in the world there in South Korea. Friends, God has not forgotten about you. You may be dealing...
Yes, and the third, Santa Lucia, I believe was her name. Yeah. She lived to a ripe old age. Yeah.
Right, so that was kind of... recent. See, I was trying to think, was that 81? That's what I was thinking, but that...
He was leading his men. He was shot five times. Five times before he finally fell off his horse unconscious. The first bullet hit him in his calf. He kept riding his horse. The second bullet hit him in his thigh. He kept on going. It nicked a minor artery in his leg. Still kept going. The third bullet hit him in one of his arms. He kept going and using the other arm to lead his men in battle. The fourth bullet hit him in the shoulder. He kept going. But when the fifth bullet hit him, he couldn't tolerate the pain and the blood loss any longer. The fifth bullet hit him in one cheek and went out the other side of his mouth through his jawbone.
And that's when General Gordon fell face down off his horse right into his hat, into the ground. But he survived. Now, you know the year, 1860s, no plastic surgery, no corrective surgery back then. I mean, they just tried to patch you up and keep you from dying, basically. And so General Gordon survived with two massive facial wounds, one on right side, one on the left. One was an entry wound, one was an exit wound. And you can imagine how disfigured he was, yet went on to be the governor, went on to be United States Senator. He was in the Senate and went...
But on this channel, including its lineup and highlights,
it's sunny on Tuesday with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel Radio Network.
First traffic time, 11:28. You're listening to First Traffic and Weather for New York.
I'm Jenny McCarthy.
Hey, I'm Maria Menounos.
I'm McCarthy. Tell me the weather.
And I'm Taylor.
What is SiriusXM Stars?
SiriusXM Stars is like hanging out with your best friends.
We get to talk about what matters to us.
We share, vent, gossip, and laugh.
We give advice on parenting, finance, love, and...
Oh, yeah, I want parenting advice from you, Jenny McCarthy. Definitely, that's... what I'm fucking here for. That's why I pay this subscription fee. Fuck. Alright. I'm out. I'll see you guys around. Everybody have a good time. Good stuff. See ya.